The fastest and the deepest way to have more self-love is to be in a relationship with somebody who really gets you. Because when you see the love they have for you shining through your eyes, your self-esteem and your self-love goes way up.
83% of Americans identify as not very happy, which can hold you back and negatively affect your relationships and your business. On this podcast, we discuss the proven steps to happiness so you can restore balance and rekindle your joy.
Welcome to another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Hope everyone is having a fantastic day today. We've got a really cool guest. I actually think she's a movie star because I think that's where I first saw her on TV. And we're going to be talking about women and marriage and all kinds of great stuff. Ariel, welcome to the show today.
Thank you, Brad. How are you?
I'm amazing. Couldn't be better. Life is great. So as we always do on the show, we just jump right into some hard-hitting questions. So I'm going to swing this one at you. What is love?
That is such an important question. Most people actually are clueless when it comes to love. They think that love is the feeling that you have when you meet somebody and your eyes lock across a crowded room and you feel like you've been swept off your feet and you have butterflies in your stomach and it feels like champagne bubbles are going through your system. That is not love. That is nature's greatest trick to get us to procreate, to keep the species going. It's called being in love. But it actually has nothing to do with real mature adult love. It's a great feeling. It's your brain on drugs. It's your brain on dopamine and oxytocin and serotonin and adrenaline. And it feels great, but it's not love. So what I like to share with people is the truth about love. Love is a behavior. Love is a choice. It's a decision. It's an act. It's a way of being. And there are good feelings, but those good feelings come and go. Talk to anybody who's once been in love, gotten married, and they will tell you the truth. Yes, she was my soulmate. Yes, he is my soulmate. And yes, there are days when I hate them. Love is not a feeling. So understanding what love is really important. The divorce rate wouldn't be so crazy high if people could get to the truth about love. So everybody knows that 50% of first marriages end in divorce, right? That's common knowledge.
Yeah.
Most people have no idea that 62% of second and 71% of third marriages end in divorce. And why is that? Because people have this thing, well, I'm not in love with you anymore. I love you, but I'm not in love with you anymore. Therefore, I'm leaving, right? And then that happens a second time and a third time. And it's like, well, what went wrong? It's because you're looking for your drug high. That's what went wrong. So that's my definition of love. It's a behavior, not a feeling.
Wow. You just said a lot of stuff we can unpack. So let's go back to evolution. Because back when we lived in caves, I don't even know how it worked. Obviously, no one really does. But it's interesting to think of, because didn't men like try to impregnate like every woman that was around?
That's what I've heard. And I think there's quite a few men still trying to do that. I was a journalism major in college. I don't even know if I ever took a biology course. So I don't know what happened with the cavemen and the women. My guess is it was all about survival.
It was all about, yeah.
You know, we got to live. Sex feels good. So let's have babies. But beyond that, who knows how it all evolved? All I know is that today, here in the 21st century, it's really great to have a partner, and it's really great to understand how to support your partner, love your partner, be with your partner, and build a life together. Because the world's a crazy place right now, and doing it alone is not fun for most people.
Yeah, so there's an amazing book called The Way to Love by Anthony DeMello. Ever heard of it or ever read it?
No.
Oh, you're going to love it. I'll send you a copy. It is great. It's this little pocketbook and it's like 4 or 5 pages a chapter. But he talks about love as letting someone be who they are without you bringing in your preconceived notions of who they were one time or anything from your past and just accepting them for who they are. So I like that definition of love.
That is so true, because really all human beings want the same thing. We all want to be loved and accepted for exactly who we are. That's really what we want. That's number one. Number two, we want to be with somebody with whom we feel emotionally and physically safe.
Yes.
So my definition of a soulmate is that it's first and foremost somebody you can completely be yourself with, somebody with whom you share unconditional love. And when you look into their eyes, you have the experience of being home.
Beautiful. Yeah. I'm one of the few people who know those divorce rates. And when I first read those, I was like, what? Are you kidding me? Like, don't people learn? But I believe a lot of that has to do with, I've been divorced twice now, and it was her fault. So I'm going to go find someone else that doesn't have her issues. And if you don't do the work and you're stuck in this like childhood programming stuff, what you always do is you recreate the same thing over and over and over again until you break that pattern. So,
well, according to Harville Hendricks, the purpose of a soulmate marriage is to take sacred vows with somebody so that you're coexisting in a safe container where all your childhood issues can come up, be revealed, and be healed.
Yes.
So it is supposed to be painful and messy. But of course, we like the drug high part. We like the feel good part. But then all of a sudden, when all this stuff, like, God, the last time I felt like this was when my father was yelling at me or my mother was ignoring me. And people don't get that we're supposed to grow together. And it's not always supposed to be easy, but it is supposed to be safe.
Yes, 100%. I love that. Absolutely love that. What do you do if you've got one partner who wants to heal and the other one that doesn't? That makes it kind of difficult, doesn't it?
Well, I believe that as long as one person's willing to do some work, there's hope and possibility. This whole thing is like we both have to go into counseling. No, you're the one feeling bad and having issues. You get yourself into therapy and you make the changes. And you know the old saying, monkey see, monkey do? You start treating your partner better, start treating your partner the way you want to be treated, things will and can evolve and grow. Now, of
yes.
course, it doesn't work if there's active addiction or you're with a toxic narcissist and there's a lot of lying and cheating going on. It doesn't work for everything. But if you're with a basic good human being and you're just having issues and you're the one that doesn't want to be in a mess, you start the process.
Yes. You said this, I think, is intimate relationships are the greatest place in the world to heal old issues. And that's where they're going to come up the most, but that's where you're going to heal the most. So speaking about marriages, what do women really want and need in a marriage?
Okay. So I'm going to talk for all the women who work. All right. And that's probably most of us. When we work, when we have a job, whether we're an entrepreneur or we have a paid position, or we're just a stay-at-home mom with four kids, the one thing that we're exhausted by the end of the day, is making decisions. The last thing we want to do is for somebody to come in and say, well, where do you want to go tonight? Or what's for dinner? Or what's this? We love men that make executive decisions, that would come home and say, oh, I can see you had a really tough day today. I know that the XYZ Thai restaurant's your favorite place. Why don't we order in dinner for the kids and let's go have Thai food? We want somebody to feel into us that they can see, oh, she really had a bad day. What can I do to make it easier and better? Because we're always thinking about you. We're thinking about the guys. Well, what's going to make his life easier? And what does he want? And I know he likes things done this way. But we really appreciate it when the guy goes, oh, yeah, let's see. Why don't we go do this? And starts taking charge and making decisions. Not being bossy, but making decisions.
Does that have anything to do with the masculine and feminine in a relationship?
Well, I would have answered that question differently a few years ago and said yes. But the whole gender thing has just flipped and changed so much that I don't even discuss it anymore. Because we're all both masculine and feminine. Yeah. Now, a lot of people are a hybrid of something. So I know there's some biological rules about masculine and feminine, but everything's changed so much. I think we got to stay focused in our own little unit. Like, what do I want and what do you want? And I just read a huge article, I think it was in the New York Times, about what's happening in the whole dating scene. And it was all about who pays for the first date. And still, in spite of all this gender stuff going on, 90% of women still prefer the guy to pay for the first date, regardless
of... I'm sure they do.
Right? And so that we could have hours about that conversation.
I remember going through my first divorce back in 2011 and watching or going through the whole Tony Robbins relationship program, which at the time I thought was amazing. I know a lot more now and I know what drives relationships, but he focused on that. He said there are a lot of issues in marriages where this, the flip between the masculine and feminine energy. And he's like, it just really messes things up. So beautiful.
Yeah, I wouldn't take Tony as a relationship expert. He would not be my first choice. You know, there's the Gottmans. There's the Harville Hendrixes. Yeah. There are people who've studied this for 50 years and have solid, long-term, happy, healthy marriages to choose from. Like I always say, you don't want to take financial advice from a poor person, and you don't want to take relationship advice from a person who doesn't have the kind of marriage you want to have.
Are you putting Tony in that bucket? Does he have, do you know, or are you just saying that off the...
I know stuff and I don't want to speak about what I know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. All right. So Arieth, what is it that you do? Like, what's all this to do with love and marriage and all that?
Well, I was a first time bride at 44.
Oh, wow.
I was running a hugely successful PR firm in Beverly Hills and having the time of my life until I woke up one morning at 43 and went, oh my God, I forgot to get married. And I decided to like try and figure it out. And I saw it wasn't like I hadn't been dating. It's just that I wasn't really focused on a relationship. I was focused on being an entrepreneur, which gave me so much joy and pleasure. And it was great. But when I looked to see how I had built my business, mostly using what we now call law of attraction stuff, I thought, well, would that work for my love life? And so I took everything that I knew, applied it to my love life. And a year later, I was married to my dream guy. We've now been married 26 years.
Wow.
What happened after the wedding was that I quickly discovered that I had no partnership skills. Like I had manifested the guy, but I wasn't going to be able to keep the guy if I didn't know how to be a good partner. In fact, I discovered that my number one highest quality was that I was a great boss. I was really good at telling people what to do and being the boss, which doesn't work with an alpha male. But I didn't know that. So I decided to become a student of love. And that's what I've been doing for the last 20 plus years, is really studying love, marriage, and relationships, finding out what worked, and then sharing that through the books that I write.
That's an amazing story. And congratulations on your 26-year marriage. That is really, really beautiful. How does one find love, keep love, and be love?
Well, those are three very different things. So finding love has never been easier, no matter what people tell you, because we have the dating apps. And most people whine and bitch and moan, oh, I've tried them, they didn't work for me. No, they didn't work for you because you didn't know what you were doing. So I give everybody a free online dating guide at my website. It's a
That's cool.
Yeah. Arielford.com. It'll pop up. It's free. And I'm not going to put you in a funnel and sell you anything. Okay. So learn how to date online properly. And then understand that 90% of the people you meet are going to disappoint you. They're going to gross you out. They're going to ghost you. And that's just part of the process. The truth is you only need one. And they're out there. You just have to become visible. Okay, so that's how you find love. You become committed to finding love. It would also be helpful if you read my book, The Soulmate Secret, because there's lots and lots of good information around the whole dating thing in there. How do you keep love? Well, you keep love by choosing wisely. You don't rush into a marriage. You pick somebody with whom you have shared values. You have connection, compatibility, communication. And the single most important thing you need is not hot chemistry. Some of that's nice, but that's not the most important. The most important is a shared vision for the future. You both want kids. You both want to live in San Diego. You both are very comfortable with he's a golfer, she's not, and you don't see each other four afternoons a week. You know, you're very accepting of each other. But you have this shared vision. You want to be legally married and live under the same roof 24/7, or you don't ever want to get married again and you want to live separately, whether that's across the street or across the country, you're cool with that. So those big things you're in alignment with. And then how do you be love? That's the hardest part of all, because other human beings are highly annoying, right? And it's easy to get mad at them and frustrated and judgmental. So you have to sort of wake up every day saying, how can I be a philanthropist of love? How can I give more love? And that's how you be love.
So I'm going to add some advice in there. If you are in a relationship or thinking about getting a relationship and you lack self-love, you're going to likely match with someone who lacks self-love. So if you want to find out if you have what level of love you have, go to bradchandler.com/quiz and take a 3-minute, it's only 12 questions, and it will literally tell you. Because what happens, and this happened to me in my two marriages, is when you lack self-love, you typically find someone else who lacks self-love. And then it's really hard to have a really deep connected relationship. So take that quiz.
So I'm going to give you another tweak on that. Okay. So I believe the fastest and the deepest way to have more self-love is to be in a relationship with somebody who really gets you. Because when you see the love they have for you shining through your eyes, your self-esteem and your self-love goes way up. Ooh. So don't sit on the sidelines not looking for love, thinking, oh, I don't love myself enough. And when I do love myself enough, then I'll go looking for love. Because chances are you'll wait the rest of your life. Most people can improve their self-love levels, okay? They can improve them. But that doesn't mean you're not lovable right now.
Yeah.
So get with a partner who can be reflecting back to you all the cool things about you is going to help heal your self-love stuff.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, I think I'll let you make your own conclusion. If you lack self-love, you're likely going to match with another person that lacks self-love.
No, I haven't seen that to always be true. And then there's levels of self-love. There are people who are on the scale of self-loathing and they should have professional help. And then there are people who are just insecure. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not handsome enough. I'm not fit enough. I don't make enough money. And it's just this nonsense voice in their head. And we can lower the volume on that voice, but the truth is it never goes away. It never, ever goes away completely. I'm like really, really good at the stuff I do. And I still have moments where I go, oh my God, you're so stupid. Let me tell you this quick Oprah story. She's interviewed everybody, whether it's Paul McCartney or Obama or Beyonce. She's interviewed everybody. And she once said that at the end of every single interview she's ever done, no matter who it was, they all say the exact same thing to her. Was that okay? So everybody's wow. Got that. I've got a new friend who's an astrophysicist at UCSD. He and I are both going to be giving TED Talks together pretty soon here in San Diego.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
His TED Talk is about, oh God, what do you call that? How Nobel Prize winners also have imposter syndrome, going all the way back to Galileo. So
wow.
This is a part of being human.
You know?
If you're not at the extreme end of self-loathing, get out there and start meeting people.
So tell us about The Love Thief.
Oh, okay. So I wrote 11 nonfiction books. And then one day, 5 years ago, the story started to unfold in my head like a movie. And I could see that it was a novel sort of knocking on the door saying, write me. And I was like, no, go away. I never, ever had the thought I should write a novel. But the story wouldn't go away. So I spent 5 years writing a book called The Love Thief. And it's a romantic spiritual thriller about a woman who ends up with a toxic narcissist. And at the end of the day, karma reigns supreme. This really nasty bad guy really gets it. So it's a very fun book. People are loving it. I have a producer in Hollywood who's going to turn it into a streaming series. And she describes the book as Eat, Pray, Love meets Dirty John. And that is really exactly what it is.
Sweet. So are you pro-marriage? And if so, why?
I love being married. I just love that I get to spend my life with my best friend, my biggest cheerleader, my soft place to land, somebody who can really be there for me when things aren't going well. Is it easy? No, it's another human being. It's not easy. But the longer we're together, the happier I am, the more amazed I am that there's still stuff to learn. You know, there's still surprises to be had. And I get to have what I call having a witness to my life. So is it perfect? No, but life isn't perfect. And I'm not perfect. I also like that he puts up with how weird I can be.
So you're pro-marriage for yourself. Are you advocating that people should be married?
I don't have any shoulds. I think if you have a desire to spend your life with another human being, it works better if you're legally married. There's a thing called the marriage effect. There's science behind this. You can Google it, the marriage effect. And people who are happily and legally married live longer, happier, more satisfying lives, and they heal faster when they get sick. So if you're just living with somebody, you don't get any of those benefits. Even if you're in a happy, committed partnership, you do not get the benefits that the marriage effect has proven works. Now, nobody knows exactly why, but I asked Harville Hendricks what his thought was about it. Like, why do you think that's true? And he says it's because when you do take the sacred vows, the part of your brain, I don't know if it's the front, whatever the technical part is, has a safety net to it. And if you're just living with somebody and you haven't taken the vows, the prehistoric part of your brain knows that you're not really safe because they could leave you at any minute very easily. So we don't know what's true. All we know what is true is that if you want to have the happiest, healthiest shot at life, have a happy marriage. And one more thing, men in a healthy, happy marriage live 7 years longer than single men or divorced men.
Is it happy marriage or just marriage period?
Marriage period, and the happier you are, the better the benefits. I mean, I'm sure you could say, oh yes, if you're married to a physically abusive woman, you're going to die sooner because she's going to kill you. But for the most part, you know, being married has great health benefits. For men also, because women will nudge you to go to the doctor and get things checked out in a way. You know, most men, after they graduate high school, never go for another physical until they're 42.
Whoa. Are you familiar with the Harvard happiness study that's been going on for...
Yes, for 75 years or 80 years.
Isn't the finding of that being with someone, being together?
It is, but simultaneously, it's also about having a big social network. So you can be single, but if you have close family or a large circle of close friends, that gives you a longer, healthier, happier life. Also, the Blue Zone diet, which I can't do because I'm too lazy, but the Blue Zone diet, one of the reasons the people in the Blue Zones live as long as they do besides eating healthy is because they have these big social networks. So being lonely is really, really bad for your health.
Interesting. What are sacred vows?
Marriage vows that you declare in front of your community, whether you believe in God or not, that I'm committing to being with you through good times and bad.
And is that what you said a couple of minutes ago? If you don't have those, your brain thinks that you're not truly committed and they might leave you?
That's the theory about why just living together doesn't give you the marriage effect.
Interesting. Interesting. Because my first wife, I pushed off marriage a long time, and I can remember knowing that I felt safe knowing that I could leave at any point in time. Wow.
Right? You've seen couples who lived together for 10 years and they were crazy about each other and it was great. And then they got married, they took the vows, and 2 years later they're divorced. And Harville Hendricks says that's because now, after 10 years of living together, now they took vows and now all their stuff came up. And the stuff had never come up before. So they hadn't worked through it, and that's why it didn't last.
Wow. So I have this theory when I see married couples have been together for years that they start to look like each other.
They do. Just like people start to look like their dogs and vice versa. I don't know the science behind it. It's true.
So Ariel, is your goal to be happy?
No, not at all. It used to be my goal. For a long time, I was always pushing for happiness. And then I sort of figured it out one day that being happy, at least in the way I was doing it, was contingent upon people, places, things, and experiences. And if any of those went away, then I wasn't happy anymore. And I wanted the next level happiness. And I discovered it through an old teacher of mine, and I found the word for it. In Sanskrit, there's a word called santosha, and santosha means utter contentment. So when you are in the state of santosha, you are perfectly content regardless of the experiences. And that's what I want to be, santosha.
How does one get there and stay there?
Well, you don't. It's a dance. It's a choice. Something annoys you. Something comes up. Something's taking away your happiness and your joy. And you have to just accept that this is what's so in this moment. Can I just be with it? And if there's something you can do to impact it and change it, great. But just accepting what is. Now, I have to tell you, the older you get, the easier that gets. I'm 71 now, all right? And what I've discovered is that I can let go of stuff a whole lot faster. And part of the reason is my memory's gotten bad. So when I come across somebody that I used to not like her, but I can't remember why. So I'm just going to start over with her or with him or whatever it is. So Santosh is, I think, what there is to shoot for. Now, do I like being happy? Of course I like being happy. But of course, the things that make me happy are smaller than they used to be. It used to be about the client, the book deal, the car, the vacation. And now it's more about what time can I get into bed?
So you just said something. You said that your memory lapses and you don't forget why you didn't like someone. And so you like them. That's kind of the definition of love, right? Is if we meet someone and they're rude to us, we as human beings so often want to define that person as, oh, they're a rude person. But haven't we all been rude at some point in our life? If we can just look at other people and say, does one time really define them? And are they capable of change? Yes. Then we might live in a world where there was a lot more love and forgiveness.
Yeah, it's a big thing, love and forgiveness. And it's a daily practice. You have to choose it. And if you're with the rude person, you just kind of have to say, he or she must be having a really bad day. Or they're just a curmudgeon, and then you can laugh about it.
Yeah. Or they have pain. They have unresolved hurt that they've never been able to deal with or don't know how to deal with it. So besides being a movie star and a best-selling book author, what do you do to deliver the love and the marriage and the happiness stuff?
I used to coach people a lot. I'm doing less and less of it these days, mainly because I like to be successful at what I do. And coaching people is really hard because most people don't want to do what it takes to be successful at what they're trying to do, especially when it comes to finding love. Everybody's got this thing, I just want it to happen organically. Yeah, it happened organically in the 50s, okay? It doesn't happen organically anymore. So if you want to keep waiting, don't complain to me that you're turning 80 and you're alone. So these days, I really love writing my newsletter. I send out a free newsletter every Tuesday that is just whatever I'm thinking about in the realm of love and marriage and stuff like that. And I read a lot. I love reading. And I hang out with my husband. And life is a lot simpler these days. You know, I love going to the movies. I just saw the Bob Marley movie. Oh, my God.
I did, too.
Isn't it great? I
took my daughter Sunday night. Yeah, it was really interesting.
Yeah, it was great. Now, there's a guy who really walk the path of love, right?
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Bob Marley and I'm a huge fan of Jamaica. I think I've been there like 13 times. I love that country. I love the people. I love the food. I love the culture. It's just a wonderful place. So Ariel, as we wrap up here, how do people find this amazing newsletter? And you said this, I'm actually going to go because I'm not on dating apps anymore, but my life partner and business partner now, we've been together almost 18 months and we both were like, we're done with apps. And that was the last person that we contacted each other through the app. So I'm going to go look at that because I'm just curious what you have to say. But where can people get your guides, your books, your newsletters?
My website, arielford.com, is the best place to find me. And you can get the online dating guide. There's links to all my books. If you're in a relationship and you want to improve it, I've written two books. One's called Wabi Sabi Love, and the other one's called Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate. So they both have really helpful information. And if you're single, The Soulmate Secret is still sort of my all-time international bestseller on how to find love. And other than that, I'm just around. I'm on Instagram, arielford44. But yeah, I'm just having
beautiful.
Fun.
That's awesome. Well, that was a lot of fun. So thank you for being here.
Thank you.
As you know, I'm on a mission to help 1 million people find freedom and happiness by reversing these programming that usually come from childhood. So if you like this show, can you please share it with your friend? Can you please rate it? Can you review it? Anything you can do to spread this message of self-love and love healing all, that would be amazing. So that concludes another episode of How to Be Happier for Entrepreneurs. Until next time, remember, love heals all. Thanks, Ariel.
Thank you.
Hit subscribe if you don't want to miss out on more life-changing content. And if you're struggling, you don't have to. Go to bradchandler.com/contact
There, you can join the Facebook community of like-minded entrepreneurs, and you'll see a button to schedule your freedom and happiness call. See you on the next episode.